We're going to do something here today and possibly next week. I want to talk about sanctification. This is a big word, and it's very prolific in the Scriptures. And when you find things in the Scriptures that you see it over here, and you see it over here, and you see it over yonder, and you see it back over here somewhere, after a while you got to say, something's about this thing. And so I said to myself, self, whatever you can remember about all this and see about this and find about this, let's do something about it. And it's quite possible that it's going to take two times to do it. Sanctification is a noun, and it's the action of making or declaring something holy. Now, that's got to be something interesting to us because we have songs. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. Yeah? Do we sing that? Well, sanctification would go there. It would have a place there. It's the sanctification of the bread and the wine. Into the body and blood of Christ. We have this communion, we call that, and that's part of that. It's part of remembering, never forgetting, never letting it slide by that Jesus Christ is the one that we go to when we need help, when we need assurance, when we need any of that. God the Father takes the Son, and they work together to make it work out for all of us. And we can stand in His presence without worry of, am I lost? Or am I going to be destroyed because, you know, I did something wrong? Let me help you with this wrong thing. If you're breathing air, you pretty much do things wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you do all of it wrong, but how much wrong can you do without getting in trouble? We don't have enough sense to figure that out, because this is something that God's already fixed. All I want to do is follow Him with that and say, Father, this is what You said, this is what You did, this is where we'll go. And I don't know how to go that way, Lord. And the Lord will say, you know, I'll make a way. And He may do it by any one of you or somebody I've never met in my life. Can God do that? Yes. It's an action or process of being freed from sin, or another way, purified. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me when I was brought to Christ and I was born again by being baptized, plunged in water, as told to do by Jesus Christ, and we come up out of that whole shenanigan that's happening right there, is God saying, I'm freeing you from your sin. Anybody in here would like to be freed from their sin? I certainly would. I certainly am, though I don't deserve it. I don't deserve all of that, but I have a God that does. The process of sanctification takes deliberate action on our part. It takes us into that realm. It's the action of causing something to be or seem morally right or acceptable. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, with minds that are alert, fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform with the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. Now, am I doing this on my own? Or is God doing this for me? God's making all of this happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in the passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish those who will commit such sins, and we told and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy life. Therefore, everyone who rejects His instruction does not reject a human, but God, and the very God who gives us the Holy Spirit. We live in an age that has a lack of discipline. Would you agree that? I remember growing up, and we were in Spring Hill, Louisiana in those days, and I remember my mama would slap me. Pow! I don't know how many hundred times I got slapped, but what my daddy did, he had this big old thumb, and he went, pow! And he could knock your head nearly off doing that. Did y'all have any like though? Well, God's kind of like that. I'll knock your ears off, boy. We live in an age of lack of discipline, where sin goes unpunished. It goes in and punished in the church, the home, the nation, and the world. And it's going to continue that way as long as we allow it. Holiness is God's work, and we are called to reflect His holiness individually, as a congregation, and especially as a nation. Sin has the power to blind men's mind. Stuff that goes on in the country, important stuff, going down the drain. We need to remember, because of sin, if you remember, man was driven out of the Garden of Eden. And God, who had walked with Adam and Eve, had walked among them, walked with them every day, had to let him go. The sin was too great. And because of this sin, he was driven out of the garden, and God ceased to walk with his human family. Now, you can lose everybody you have in this world. Everybody you think you like and they might like you. But when you push Jesus Christ out, you are on your own. And to be on your own is not a place to be. When you have to do things yourself that were done from a heavenly sphere, I don't know how we could even compare it with anything. In Genesis 3:23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim with flaming sword and flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. I'm going to tell you something about these angels that was here. You didn't come back. You didn't say, you know, I'm sorry, God. I just really messed up. God said, no, you're out of here. You are gone. Later in the text, it was rationalized to the point that man could murder his own brother. Did that ever happen? Who was it? Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4:2-13, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought home some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. And the Lord looked in favor with Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face cast down? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what's right, sin is crouching at your door and its desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother?" And here was Cain's rebuttal: "I don't know." So what he did is this. Instead of sanctification, he chose death. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Does that sound to you that God is ticked off about this situation? Cain and Abel. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment's more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land and I'll be hidden from their presence." You know what we might say is, "Well, do tell. How could you have prevented that? You've done what God said, right? Today you're driven from me from the land and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me," Cain said. But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. I want this boy to live with what he did." What would happen in this country these days? You go out on these streets right here, and there's bullet holes and people's glass all up and down these places around here. Is that true or not? People shooting at people. They don't have any sense. They don't even know who they're shooting at. They're not trying to kill so-and-so. They just want to kill somebody. What's really happened on this thing is this thing ought to be switched around this way we can clean this mess up. But the Lord said, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Is God hacked off? Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Sin became so dormant that every air-breathing person was destroyed, except for eight humans and a pair each of animals. In Genesis 7:17-23, for 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and it floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. And the waters rose and covered the mountains to the depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind, everything on dry ground that had breath of life in its nostrils died. Everything on the face of the earth was wiped out. People, animals, creatures that moved around the ground, the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. I would venture to say there is a point where God gets enough and says, we're not going to have it like this. Is it possible? Doesn't say in the scriptures. I'm just asking you. Is it possible that we become so wicked in these cities around this globe that this happens again? Did God clean it up good and right the first time? Did he had to get a whole bunch of people to make it happen? Or did he himself make the whole thing happen? You can mess with me. You can shoot me right through the head. They're going to bury me finally. And I'm a goner. I'll be raised again. But the thing is, God had to clean the whole earth before we could have all that. The shooting up and down roads at people they don't even know are stupid people who found a gun and say, hey, let's shoot somebody. Well, they never think about, what if they shoot me? You know, the guy that's doing the shooting. For 40 days, 40 nights, the floods kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth more than 15 cubits. Living things that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind, everything on the face of the earth was wiped out. People, animals, creatures that moved along the ground, and those that were in the ark. All of them gone. That's a big problem. The sons of Noah came out of the ark. Where Shem and Ham and Japheth, these were the three sons of Noah. And from them, the people who were scattered all over the earth, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. And when he drank some of his wine, he became drunk and lay naked. Japheth had a garment, his father was naked, and told his two brothers, Shem and Japheth, to take the garment and lay it across the shoulders and walk backwards. When Noah woke up from his wine and found out his youngest son had done, he said, cursed be Canaan, the lowest slaves he'll be to his brothers. He also said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be a slave to him. May God extend Japheth's territory, and may Japheth live in the tents of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Japheth. Later Joshua, after things come back, took the land of Canaan, and the Canaanites died, men and women. God is not playing with this stuff. You've read stuff in the book for yourself. We skipped through some of this, but I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 1, 18 to 20, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of the people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since they may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, or since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, he being clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so the people are without excuse. In Romans 6:11-14, we who are in Christ have experienced death, and we have buried and raised to live a new kind of life. Now that last burial they had right here, that was not a burial that was slammed over you because you did something bad. What that was is when you came to Christ and all of that death that you had experienced has come back to life. what Jesus Christ did for us when we came to Christ and say, I believe, I want to be in His hands. And you were baptized into Christ, and you came up from that washing a new creature. And what would God say? Go and sin no more. Isn't that the way it worked? This is big stuff. But I'm going to tell you this. Sanctification is a big word. If you hadn't thought about it much and hadn't explored that word, it'd be a good idea for you to do between now and then. And it will be a good time for you to say, you know, I think I want to look at that. I want to see what that means, what's happening here, and how is all of this stuff happening within the confines of this assembly. So I want us to do that. I would like to just have Alan, if he would, to come and let's have our last song and we'll be dismissed today.